Kingsport Sovereign Grace Church, located at 905 Yadkin Street in Kingsport, Tennessee, would like to invite you to listen to a message of sovereign grace by their pastor, Gabe Stonecker. And now, Pastor Gabe Stonecker.
The message this morning is going to come from Galatians chapter 3. But I would like to begin in Psalm 119, if you would like to turn with me in your Bible. We're going to begin in Psalm 119, and I want to ask this question. What do we think of God's law? What do we think of God's law, God's commandments? How do we feel about the law that He has given us in His Word? How do we feel it relates to us as believers? What about the law? What about the law? Well, look with me right here in Psalm 119, verse 97. David said, "Oh, how love I thy law. I love thy law. It is my meditation all the day." He said, "I love the law." Verse 113, he said, "I hate vain thoughts, but thy law do I love." Love thy law. Verse 163, he said, "I hate and abhor lying, but thy law do I love." The law condemns lying, and David said, "I hate lying, and I love thy law." Verse 165, he said, "Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them." Great peace have they that love thy law. Now, can we say all of that with David? Can we say that with him? I love thy law. I love thy law. Turn with me now to Galatians 3. If we can say that with David, I want to show you something over in Galatians 3, and this is our text. Galatians 3, verse 10, we'll begin the text, and this is the Apostle Paul writing to the Galatians, and he said, "For as many as are of the works of the law, are under the curse." As many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. That's what Paul said. All right, now based on what we have just seen both of these men say, who should we believe? Who should we believe? David or Paul? The question is, what about the law? What do we think of the law? We heard what David had to say about it, and we heard what Paul had to say about it. And who should we believe? Which one of those two men should we believe? Which one is telling us the truth, David or Paul? David said, "Great peace have they which love thy law." Great peace. That's what he said. Great peace have they which love thy law. Paul said, "As many as are of the works of the law are under the curse." That doesn't sound like peace to me. As many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. Which one is telling us the truth? Which one of those two men? Here's the answer. Both of them. Both of those two men are telling us the truth. Are they contradicting each other? We heard what one said. We heard what the other one said. Are they contradicting each other? The answer is absolutely not. Absolutely not. Not one word in this verse, in this book, contradicts another word in this book. Not one verse of Scripture contradicts another verse of Scripture. David said, He loved God's law. He said he loved the law. But let me show you something in Psalm 51. Psalm 51. David said in Psalm 51, verse 1, "Have mercy upon me, O God. Have mercy upon me, O God." Now, why was David crying out for mercy? It's because he said in Psalm 143, "Hear my prayer, O Lord. Give ear to my supplications. In thy faithfulness, answer me, and in thy righteousness, and enter not into judgment with thy servant." Enter not into judgment with thy servant. "For in thy sight shall no man living be justified." That's what David said. He said, "I love your law. Oh, I love your law. It's good and it's right and it's holy and it's just." But David knew he needed mercy, because he knew that no man living shall be justified in the sight of God according to the law. He knew that. There is nothing that a man can do. Absolutely nothing that a man can do on this earth to justify himself in God's eyes. That's what David is saying right there. Nothing. There is nothing that a man can do to justify himself in God's eyes. If I could make one thing very clear this morning in this message, that's what I want it to be. There is nothing that a man can do. Men and women come to learn something of their sin, and they realize that they need forgiveness for what they've done, and they need God's favor, and so they decide they need to start making things right. They need to go do some things to make things right. But there's nothing that a man or a woman on this earth can do to justify himself or herself before God. If a man tells you, "Now you're going to need to do this and need to do that," that man's lying to you, because there's nothing a man can do to justify himself before God. Now in Psalm 51, David went on to say, "Have mercy upon me, O God." Mercy. That's what I need, is mercy. "According to thy loving kindness, according unto the multitude of thy tender mercies," he said, "blot out my transgressions." That's what I need. I need you to blot out my transgressions. "Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity." That's my only hope. Wash me from that sin. "And cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions." David said, "I love your law. I see what it says, and I acknowledge that I've disobeyed it." What about us? Do we acknowledge that? Do we acknowledge that we have disobeyed God's holy law? He said, "I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Against thee, thee only, have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest, and be clear when thou judgest. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity." Made that way. He said, "I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me." I was conceived in sin. Conceived in it. I began in sin. What he's saying is, sin is not what I've done. That's what he's acknowledging to God. Sin is not what I've done. Sin is what I am. It's what I am. I am that because I'm a son of Adam. Adam was the first man that God made. Adam sinned. And all in Adam have sinned. All. Every soul on this earth is in the same condition with Adam. every soul on this earth. And David said, my only hope before you right now is that you'll have mercy on me. That's my only hope. And that's my only hope, and that's your only hope, is that God will have mercy on us. And as David said, purge my sin in your blood. That's my only hope. Purge me. Wash me. And I'll be clean. David said, I acknowledge how good and how holy and how right your law is. What about us? Do we acknowledge that? The law is good. The law is right. The law is holy. Every child of God, every believer says, Lord, I love your law. I love your law. And I acknowledge that it's holy and it's right and it's just. And I acknowledge that all I've done is sin against it. I acknowledge that. I see what it says, and I see that that's not what I have done. And I also acknowledge that sin against your law is all that I can do. That's all that this sinful flesh can do, because it was conceived in sin. It is made of sin. Sin is not what I've done. Sin is what I am. So I'm begging you for mercy. I am begging you for mercy. Now, if you'll look with me back at the text in Galatians 3, verse 10, the Apostle Paul said, for as many, he said, for as many sinners, those who were conceived in sin and came forth speaking lies, and they walk this earth with no ability to do what's good and right. That's me, and that's you, and that's every man and woman on this earth. He said, for as many as are of. As many as are of. The word of means, it translates, by the means of. For as many as are by the means of. As many as seek redemption and seek acceptance, seek God's favor by the means of the works of the law. And that's a lot of people. A lot of people seek God's favor and seek redemption and seek acceptance by the means of the deeds of the law, the works of the law. Well, this is what the law says, and this is what we have to do. And if we do this, God will be happy with us. He said, as many as seek those things by the means of the law, that doing and obeying of the law, they are under God's curse. To me, that is that's a bold and shocking statement. That's what he said. As many as are of the works of the law, they're under the curse. Now, what is that curse? The answer is death. Death. God said to Adam, he said, Adam, in the day that you eat thereof, thou shalt surely die. That's the consequence for sin. In the garden, man died. Man died. Ever since then, in Adam, all die. All die. No matter how much a man tries to do, And do, no matter how much, he will never, cannot ever get himself out from under that curse. Cannot ever. No matter how much he tries to do. The more he tries to do, the more under the curse he is. The more he tries to do. Now somebody's going to say, why? Why are you saying that? Why is that? No matter how much he does, no matter what kind of person he is, no matter how good and right everybody thinks he is and he thinks he is, why would you say that? Well, Galatians 3 verse 10 says, for as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. For it is written, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. Did we understand what that just said? As many as try to obey the law. Every law that's written, every one that continueth not in all things. You and I did not make this truth. We did not decide what the truth will be. We just declare it. That's all we do. We declare God's truth. This is what God says the truth is. For each law that He has given in this book, every law. How many laws are in the Word of God? How many laws? I couldn't even begin to start counting them. Every law that He's given in this book, in order for God to be satisfied, and this is vital information for every man and woman to know, in order for God to be satisfied with our work of that law, He said, if you do these things, you'll live. That'll hold true. That will hold true. But in order for God to acknowledge us as having kept the law, we have to perfectly obey the law in deed, in thought, and in motive of the heart. Not just deed only. Deed, thought, motive of the heart. If there are, and I believe there are many more than this, but if there are 10,000 laws in this book, and we keep 9,999 of them, and we break just one, in thought, it's the same thing as though we've broken all 10,000 of them in God's eyes. Same thing. The end of verse 10, He said, it is written, cursed is every one that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law. All of them. That rich young ruler, you may know the story of that rich young ruler. He came to the Lord and he said, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And the Lord gave him some laws. He gave him some things. And that rich young ruler said, all these have I kept from my youth up. What he was saying to the Lord was, I'm not a sinner. That's what he was saying to him. All these have I kept from my youth up. I'm not a sinner. You know what he did at that exact moment in time? When he said that, do you know what he did at that very moment in time? He called God a liar. That's what he did. 1 John 1 verse 10 says, if we say that we have no sin, and that's what that man said, if we say that we have no sin, we make God a liar, and His word is not in us. If that's what we say, His word is not in us. It is impossible. It's impossible for a man to justify himself before God. It is impossible. Look with me, if you have your Bible there, make sure you look at this verse with me. Chapter 4, Galatians chapter 4, verse 21. It says, tell me, ye that desire to be under the law, do you not hear the law? Do you not hear the law? Ask a person. This will be a common answer. Go out and ask a person, why do you believe in your heart, why do you believe God will accept you into His eternal glory and kingdom? When that time comes, why do you believe He will accept you in? If that person says, well, I believe it because I have tried to be a good person all my life. I've tried to do what's right by others. I've tried to be fair. I've tried to be generous. I've tried to be a help to people. I've just tried to be a good person. And I believe I've done enough. I believe He'll be happy with me. And I just believe He'll accept me in. Verse 21 says, you who desire to be under the law. You know, He said you be a good person and you do right and you be fair and you honor your father and your mother and you don't steal and you don't commit murder and you don't commit adultery. You who desire to be under the law, do you not hear the law? Do you not hear the law? Do you not hear what the law is saying? Do you not hear how strict the law is? Oh, David said, I would love to keep your law. The Apostle Paul said the same thing. Oh, I'd love to keep it. But I see how strict it is. I hear how strict it is. And that's what he's asking right here. Do you not hear how severe the punishment is for not keeping all of the law in deed, in thought, in heart? Over in Matthew chapter 5, our Lord illustrated this. He, in Matthew 5, verse 21, he said, "You have heard that it was said by them of old time, thou shalt not kill." Don't commit murder. That's the law. Don't kill. He said, "And whosoever shall kill shall be in danger of the judgment." God will deal with that person. He said, "But I say unto you that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment." Just whoever's angry. Somebody will say, "Well, you're not supposed to kill now." The Lord Jesus Christ himself said, "Let me explain that law to you. Murder starts in the heart. The heart murders. And then the mind and the deed comes afterward." And he said he's looking on the original motive of the heart. That's where murder takes place. Verse 27, "You've heard it was said by them of old time, thou shalt not commit adultery." Don't commit adultery. That's the law. "But I say unto you that whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery with her already in her heart." People can be so proud of themselves. "I've been faithful to my wife." The Lord said, this law applies to the thought and the heart. All the way into the thought and the heart. He actually said in verse 29, "It'd be better for you to pluck your own eyes out than to look on a woman to lust after her and then go stand before God." And if a man did pluck his eyes out, it wouldn't do any good because he still has a mind. He still has a heart. There's no hope for man in the flesh. No hope at all. Well, if there's no hope for man in the flesh, then what hope do we have? What hope does a sinner have who has no ability to justify himself before God? What hope does that sinner have? Look with me, if you would, at Romans chapter 8. Romans 8, verse 3, it says, and this is such a wonderful verse. It says, "For what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh." Now, the law is not flesh. I'm flesh. You're flesh. "The law was not weak itself. We were weak in the flesh. We could not keep the law. The law demanded it. We could not fulfill it. What the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit." Who is he talking about? Who did he do this for? God sent his Son, because this flesh couldn't do it. God sent his Son in the flesh. "A body hast thou prepared me." And he gave his Son to redeem a people from their sins. Who did he do it for? Verse 1 says, "There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus." In Christ Jesus. That's who he did this for. When believers say that Christ is their only hope, they mean it. They mean it. When believers say Christ is all, not Christ plus my deeds of the law, Christ is all, they mean it. They mean it. Back in Galatians 3, if you look with me back at the text, Galatians 3, verse 10 says, "For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. For it is written, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them, but that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident. No man is justified by the law in the sight of God. That's evident. For the just shall live by faith. Faith in what? Christ alone. Christ alone. The work that Christ came to accomplish and accomplished. What he came to do and what he finished. Verse 12 says, and the law is not of faith. The man that doeth them shall live in them. If a man wants to cling to the law as his hope, well, then he's going to go meet God based on his deeds. But if he's clinging to Christ, he's going to go meet God based on Christ's deeds. And verse 13 says, Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is every one that hangeth on a tree. The Lord God made his Son to be that sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. That's what redeemed us from the curse of the law. Does that settle it? Final question of the message. Does that settle it? Christ came. Christ redeemed on that cross. Does that settle it? Well, verse 13, Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is every one that hangeth on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. What that says is, that's it. That's it. It is settled. Christ finished it. Christ accomplished the salvation of his people. God's Spirit coming to a sinner that was chosen in Christ and causing that sinner to believe, that's the sinner's receipt. That's his evidence of his redemption. May God give that to us. May he cause us to cry out to Christ, you're my only hope. Till next week, may the Lord bless his word to our hearts.
You have been listening to a message by Gabe Stonecker, pastor of Kingsport Sovereign Grace Church in Kingsport, Tennessee. If you would like a copy of this message or to hear other messages of Sovereign Grace, log on to our website at ksgctn.org. If you would like to come and worship with us, our service times are Sunday morning Bible study at 10 o'clock a.m., worship at 10:45 a.m. and 6 o'clock p.m., Wednesday evening at 7:30 p.m. Please tune in next week for another message of God's free and sovereign grace.